In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, we heard one of the Lord's most famous of all parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan. We know the story well. This man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho fell among thieves, who stole from him, beat him, left him half dead. Then along comes two who presumably would be interested in restoring him, a priest and a Levite, who simply just pass by on the other side, avoiding him at all costs. The Good Samaritan, this man who was despised by the Jews, comes along and does what they should have done, restoring the man, putting him on his own animal, bandaging up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, bringing him to the inn, saying, "How much more do you need? I'll take care of it, and I'm also coming back for him." Showing love. Showing compassion. You can imagine how that man felt towards this Good Samaritan, how closely that bond was that came about through this love and through this compassion. The parable speaks to us many things. Many, many things. We'll speak about one of them today, and that's loneliness. Loneliness. The idea of being alone, being all by oneself. You can imagine how this man in the parable felt, who was not only traveling alone, but then others came and took from him what he had. And then the people who were supposed to restore him, they left, and they went on their way, leaving him again alone. Only the Good Samaritan brings him out of that isolation and into relationship. Now that man was not only injured in body, but also then injured in soul. We have that expression, you add insult to injury, right? He was beaten up, and then people walked by him. They didn't care. Which was worse? Probably the second. The wounds of the soul are sometimes much, much worse than the wounds of the body. Speaking about loneliness, you might look to a definition, and this comes from Wikipedia. Wikipedia says, "Loneliness is a complex and usually unpleasant emotional response to isolation. Loneliness typically includes anxious feelings about a lack of connection or communication with other beings, both in the present and extending into the future. As such, loneliness can be felt even when surrounded by other people. The causes of loneliness are varied and include social, mental, emotional, and physical factors." Now, I want to say Wikipedia was doing a very fine job until that last sentence when it tried to address the causes of loneliness. Did you notice that it mentioned a variety of factors, social, mental, emotional, and physical, and yet left out spiritual, which is the primary cause of loneliness? If loneliness is experienced because of isolation, the opposite end of the spectrum from isolation would be what? Unity. And God is the source of all unity. Man, made in his image and likeness, is supposed to dwell in unity. God is a trinity of persons, three bound up in one. Man is a multiplicity of persons, but to be bound as one. How close? Just as the Father is in the Son, and the Son in the Father, and each dwell in the Holy Spirit, so man is called to dwell in this perfect unity. Of course, Christ comes to bring this about. He says of his mission that he comes that all might be one, perfectly one, and then he references the unity of the Holy Trinity. Christ comes with this mission to accomplish. And of course, in the parable, we see Christ as the Good Samaritan, the one who is despised by the Jews, yet accomplishes the very task that they were supposed to be setting out to do. Restoration. In Isaiah, we read about the suffering servant. That suffering servant is Christ himself. He was the one who Isaiah says was not only despised and forsaken by men, but he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Think about the Good Samaritan who was despised as a Samaritan by the Jews. Isaiah says, surely our griefs, and who are we but the one who was left half dead, those who are alive in body but dead in soul. Surely he himself bore our griefs and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken. We thought him smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of these are references to Christ's sacrifice. And what was it that the Good Samaritan did for this man who fell among thieves but sacrifice? He came and he poured on his own wine and oil. He bandaged him up with his own bandages. He put him on his own animal, took him to the inn and said, here's my money. Whatever more you need when I come back, I'll see to it. The Good Samaritan was like a shepherd who took a sheep and put it on his shoulders. This is the image of Christ, who takes our sins, our transgressions, our sicknesses, our afflictions, even our isolation and loneliness upon himself, so that he might restore us through his self-sacrifice. Christ has this great compassion. And what is compassion? But if you break that word apart, but ko and pathos, which is suffering. Compassion means to suffer with, to suffer together. Christ has this great compassion, this love, to suffer with us, for us. When we think about Christ as the suffering servant, we also see him as this wounded healer. Christ is a wounded healer. Remember when he's on the cross? What did they say? Physician, heal yourself. You healed so many, why don't you heal yourself? And yet he was coming to heal us. He was coming to restore us. His focus was on us. And that, brothers and sisters, is how loneliness is overcome, how isolation is overcome, how disunity and separation is overcome by the focus on the other. Many times we think in our loneliness, how are we going to get out of it? How are we going to get over our isolation and start to feel better? And we think about, well, what can we do to make us feel better? We need people to love us as they should, to treat us as they should, to incorporate us. We look to others to solve our problem of loneliness and isolation. In a way, this approach to loneliness makes things much worse. Things begin to snowball because not only do the others not provide what it is that we think we need, but our concern and our focus is inward on ourselves. And we use people then as objects so that we can feel better. Christ, who comes to restore, though, shows us a different way. Nothing he did in his life, just as the Good Samaritan in the parable, was for himself. Everything was for the other. And that's the great paradox. The way we conquer loneliness is by finding someone else who is lonely. And we meet their needs. We minister to them in their suffering. We focus our attention, our life, on them. And what happens when that takes place? They begin to come out of their loneliness, right? Because someone is actually caring about them. But in a very mysterious fashion, we ourselves also come out of our loneliness, our isolation, because we no longer are thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about someone else. We're in relationship with another person. We're giving to them rather than trying to take from them. And we become like this Good Samaritan, who himself is just simply an image of Christ, who gives of himself to the other. And when we're united to Christ, union is already taking place, right? Because in Christ, all things are held together. He's the God-man, the one that unites heaven and earth, divinity and humanity. All of creation is held together in him. Christ shows us how to conquer loneliness and isolation by going to those who are lonely and in isolation. The one who has perfect union with the Father and the Holy Spirit comes to us who are broken, who are scattered like sheep without a shepherd, and he unites us in himself. And more than that, he shows us the way that we can unite with him. And that's by doing what he does. It's interesting in this parable, the Good Samaritan, he just happened to have with him wine and oil. He just happened to have bandages that he could bind up his wounds. Where did he get these from? Perhaps he himself knew what it was to suffer. Perhaps he himself knew what it was to have wounds. You see the image of Christ here. He then takes him on his own animal and brings him to an inn, the place that he knew he needed to go. Christ takes us where we need to go, and he restores us there. The one who brings us to life comes from life. But then he does something remarkable. He sends us out to do his work. Do we think of the commission, the Great Commission, to go and to baptize and to teach? Do we think about it as going to those who are broken and isolated and lonely? Those who are outcasts? Do we think of ourselves as wounded healers who have been brought by Christ to this inn of the church where we have healing and union? And then he sends us out, still perhaps maybe wounded ourselves? Do we realize that we can co-suffer with people and have union with them and sacrifice for them as Christ sacrificed for us? Do we realize that that is how we're incorporated into Christ? And that's how our loneliness is overcome, by self-sacrifice for others. Brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful parable. What's more beautiful is when it's lived out. I'm going to close with sharing something with you about how Christians in Christ can be wounded healers. November 1st, a young Matushka, a priest's wife, reposed in the Lord at age 36. Maria Anastasia Fara. How many of you know that? Some of you, you've seen probably posts on Facebook. She was just 36 years old, a native Alaskan, married to a priest. She was living in Kansas. And she died unexpectedly. With her husband, Father Isaac, they had four children, Peter, Melania, Barbara, and Diana. They were ages 11, 9, 7, and 5. You can only imagine how this family is suffering. And sometimes when people are suffering so badly, we almost think, well, I'm not going to engage in that. I'm going to step back, let others address that. That's too much for me. But then out of nowhere, sometimes people just, they show up and they engage in that full force. They give themselves entirely to that terrible situation. One woman did just that. She reached out to Father Isaac and said, "Father Isaac, I'd like to help in any way that I can. And one way I'd like to help is to start a GoFundMe page." She did. She started a GoFundMe page. Sent out on Facebook postings and emails, and called parishes, trying to get them to support this family because they're a priest family. They don't have that much. And they had to bring in family from Alaska. They have funeral expenses, unexpected. And they have a life to carry on. And these four young children without their mother. So they started this GoFundMe page so that they could raise some meager funds for them. And it's happening. People are giving. Many of you even have given. You know, who started that page was Presbyter Catherine Baker. Does that name sound familiar to any of you? Who was she? But she was the wife of Father Matthew Baker, who on March 1st in 2015 was killed in a car accident. They likewise had numerous children, and someone started a GoFundMe page for her. And they raised a good amount of money to help with the lesser things. The greater things only God can help in. But when I saw that, the woman who started the GoFundMe page for the Farah family was Presbytera Catherine Baker, started to make sense. She knew what it was like to suffer in that particular way. And while many perhaps would not want to get involved, she knew that it was her mission to get involved. She was commissioned by Christ to do just that, to go and do likewise as he himself has done, to co-suffer and to sacrifice. We are called to do the exact same thing. We are called to find people that we can minister to, that Christ can minister to through us, because we're united to him. This is how the world is united back to God. By compassion. By love. By co-suffering. This is our great privilege as Christians. To be like this Good Samaritan, who everyone knows about the world over. The Good Samaritan is famous because of his love. The Good Samaritan is Christ, who is love. Brothers and sisters, let us hear the words of the Lord, and as he says, go and do likewise. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.